Right, we're good. G'day guys, my name's Alex. I am from The Tripod, and once again I'll be joined by Jacob today. We'll break down every NRL game from a betting perspective that just was round 9. It'll be a rapid reaction pod, so it'll probably be around about 15 to 20 minutes. We'll just take you through a journey of all our plays for this week and how we went. I guess first things first, as most of you all know, we do have a new free app that you can download now. It's in the App Store and on Google Play. That one's called just Tripod App, so T-R-Y-P-O-D. You can download that one. We've got pretty much $50 comps going on basically every game day, especially. But we've just reached 3,000 people on the app. So to celebrate that, we'll be running, I think we're going to do a $300 comp in the app probably for next week. Hang on, I'll just get Jacob in. So yeah, make sure you download and get in on that $300 comp that we'll be running. Like our page as well, it's called Punters Pod. And then obviously we do release all our tips first and foremost on the app. So you do get the benefit of getting them early if you're in the app. And then we release them later on Instagram and Twitter. And both of those are tripod_betting. But another good week, Jacob. How are you?
Yeah, it is a good week. It's kind of a bittersweet way to end it because we didn't make money today. But I think it may have even been our best round of the season with best bets. I don't know if you mentioned. Sorry, I just jumped in. I was on the app. I'm hooked on the app, mate. So good. And 36-19 on best bets. Yep. So, I mean, when you have 17 more winners than losers and you're picking 50-50 markets, that's a pretty good weekend.
Definitely, yeah. So, I mean, if you were to put $100 on each of those, you'd be up about $1,500 roughly. So, yeah, another really good week. So, I guess, should we just jump straight into it? The game that we just saw, Roosters Manly. We stayed off this one. We didn't have any plays on this, and that's because the line ticked up to about 10.5. It was probably a bit too high for us to play, and we just didn't know what effort we were going to get out of Manly. But I thought I was kind of impressed by Manly. They did fight to the bitter end, and they had a chance to win that one at the death. But Roosters once again. So I was kind of impressed with Manly, but Roosters very disappointed in the Roosters again. I mean, they have so much talent on that team, but they just can't seem to string it together. I think the issue is they just play too safe. They've got so much talent all across the park. They need to be throwing it around more. They just seem to play this like structured style, and it doesn't help when they've got all those good guys on there.
Have a sip of your water, mate. Yep. And what we'll do is you can give me your thoughts on the games first, and then I can chime in as well, because it will be rapid. And if you did back the Roosters today, which we didn't, you would be disappointed, I think, because, yeah, they really didn't throw a lot at Manly. Manly could have won that game, and it comes down to a couple things for me. I mean, fucking Cherry Evans, that conversion in the first half. Well, it's disgraceful, and, you know, like, that's two of the last three games that I've watched that the team has lost because of bad goal kicking. I mean, Mitchell Moses, we'll talk about that one, but if he kicks that and goes extra time, the Eels win that one, you know, 2 out of 3, if not more. And, well, you don't need to be a genius to figure out that Manly lost by 2 points and Cherry missed from right in front, so that hurts. But I don't know what to make of Manly either. We said the line was a little too rich, a little too high, shouldn't really be above 10, but you're getting that extra tax because you don't know whether Manly's going to try. They let in two extremely soft tries. I mean, the Louis try and the Warrior Hargraves tries are embarrassing tries, and you're still right there at the end. So I don't know if Manly would really be happy or not. And I still think if Roosters had been better today, Roosters might have won that by 2 tries, happy enough to have stayed away from it.
Yeah, definitely. And to run off your point of the missed conversion, which was horrible, another terrible decision by Manly, down 8 with 3.5 minutes left, not to take the penalty right in front of the sticks to make it a one-score game. It just boggles my fucking mind every time. Anyway, Thursday, we had the Broncos beating the Bulldogs 22-20. We were all over the Doggies in that one, and we went 8-1 on plays. Like I've said before, I hate the Dogs. I hate betting on the Dogs, but this was a home run spot for them, and the line was just too high for us, and we had to take it. But once again, the Doggies giving up a lead. It's just got to be so painful for them. They've had multiple times this year when they've had double-digit leads. I think that's the fourth time now, and they've fucking lost the game. But all credit to the Broncos. They did play well. But in my opinion, both of these teams aren't the top 8 caliber sides currently.
I will not give all credit to the Broncos. I will give a lot of credit to the referees. After the Bulldogs got the first 2 penalties of the game, the Broncos got 8 of the next 9. We saw one of the most competitive knock-ons. And I've watched a lot of footy. I don't think being the top 99.9% of people that watch footy, I have not seen more blatant knock-on than that. Just no call. The player himself stops and drops his head, and the ref says, "You're all right, mate. You're all right. Keep going." I mean, under sixes, you'd be annoyed if the ref lets a player get away with that. And I mean, you get the, I'm not going to dispute the penalty at the very end that gives Broncos the win, but that's the second time it's been a questionable penalty to hand Brisbane the win this season. It does make you wonder. But earlier decisions, I mean, Brisbane's blatantly offside at marker when Dogs were up six. If they get out to an 8-point lead with a few minutes to go, they win that game. I mean, even, yeah, just like phantom penalties off Brisbane bombs that are called well after the fact, and they're saying that there's a, you know, what are they, what's the word they use? Escort. Which, you know, you'd be very familiar with that word. But, you know, you can call that on every bomb if you want to. It certainly seemed. And Dean Pay was filthy and he was shattered. And I actually totally feel for the Bulldogs. And we still won 8 out of 9 plays, so we don't care that much. We don't love the Bulldogs. But I was pissed off with the, you know, just the bullshit refereeing in that game. But we started the round well because the Bulldogs, fully healthy, threw everything at Brisbane, unlucky not to win. Brisbane is an okay team, missing Matt Gillette and Josh McGuire, and it's showing.
Yeah, and now Payne Harsin, to go off the back of your refereeing statement, I really thought today it was very, very strange. It seemed like they were calling so many more forward passes than they normally do. I don't know if they've had a fucking refs meeting or something, but they're calling 6 forward passes a fucking game that are flat. Like, there was 2 in 5 minutes, 2 in basically 2 sets in that Manly Roosters game that were fucking, you know, borderline flat, if not backwards. So, I don't know what's going on, but they need to fucking sort the reffing out. It's terrible. Next up, we had the Rabbits flogging the Knights, 36-18. And we did like the Rabbits in that one. We did go 6-2. And yeah, despite no Sammy Burgess, which was our only concern, despite the Knights being at home, because they do have a pretty good home ground advantage, the Rabbits were just far superior. They got out to a big lead. Yes, the Knights scored 3 tries second half, but I did think that Rabbits team is definitely a contender. When they're fully healthy, they're a top 4 side in the comp, in my opinion. And the Knights, yeah, they just didn't have the strike power. They did try hard for the full 80, but yeah, just not enough talent on that roster without Mitchell Pearce now to compete with those sorts of teams.
Yep, you basically said it. And I saw a team play today that I know is a contender in the Dragons. You probably still keep the Storm in that conversation. But as for who else, I think that the Bunnies are still a sleeper contender that people aren't noticing. And they will get back their most inspirational forward and they'll only get better. And yeah, it's not an easy place to go and win by a big score down in the Hunter. And they did that. And Newcastle, well, that's what you expect from a team that doesn't have the same kind of roster talent other teams have. And they lost Mitchell Pearce. They lifted for that one game on Friday night against Manly. And the letdown was inevitable. And hence, we cashed a bunch of plays on the Bunnies.
Yep. And then next up, we had the Cows beating the Panthers 26-20. We liked the Cows in that one. And we got ridiculed for it. But anyway, we went 6-2 on plays. I was actually really impressed with the Cows. And that might just be the win that kickstarts their season. Because if they lost that one, they're in a huge hole and they'd be in huge danger of missing the 8. But really, really impressed by the Cows. They looked fitter. It looks like they're getting a bit more match fit. Thurston looked better because they really did fight for the full 80. And I've seen in previous games this season where they kind of die late in the second half. But, you know, for the Panthers to make that late run and for the Cows to stave them off, you know, I've seen time and time again the Panthers go on a run and they just come over the top of you. But anyway, but yeah, very, very impressive from the Cows. And like we said, you know, the Panthers are a little bit down on troops, but still, they are a solid team. And, you know, when they're fully healthy, they're going to be contenders too. But very impressed by the Cows.
Yeah, we've said every week the Panthers are down on troops. We try and give you little nuggets of information you can take away to make money next week. It's not just us sitting here telling you, oh, we got this right, we got that this right. But something that maybe not everyone saw, been talk about down on troops, Trent Merrin breaks a finger in the warm-up.
Or thumb or something,
It breaks. It's like, geez, that hurts. And that's lucky for us. You know, we've copped our fair share of bad luck. We've bet on the Warriors and then Sean Johnson gets scratched. But for, you know, an Origin level forward to get pulled out in the warm-up, that's going to hurt the Panthers. They're already thin on troops. And you said a very impressive 80 minutes for the Cowboys. I will disagree. I'll say an amazing first 38 minutes. And yes, good resilience to hang on and win that game, but not an impressive kind of 40th to 70th minute. They let the Panthers back in the game when they shouldn't have ever had a chance. But still, yeah, it's a huge win for the Cowboys' season. And for the Panthers, I was impressed that they didn't give up because they could have had an absolute score put on them. But I don't want to bet on the Panthers anytime soon because I just mentioned that injury toll just keeps climbing every week.
Yeah, and you're right. They did sort of sputter in that early part of the second half. I guess, what I meant to say was, I guess, impressive that they were able to fucking hold on for the win, because many times before, the Panthers just come home very strong. So, and that could be, you know, that could be a season-defining win for them. I mean, 2-7, you're in a giant hole, but 3-6 doesn't sound so bad. The next up, the Raiders beat the Titans 32-18. We had 8 players on that one, went 5-3. The Raiders looking better now. That's what, 3 wins on the trot now, and they look fitter. And they were just far too good for the Titans. So I think things are clicking for the Raiders. They're pretty much fully healthy now. Obviously, apart from like Sam Williams, but they've got their halves combo there now. Titans, once again, just didn't have the strike power. We say this every week. They do fight hard, but against a team like the Raiders, they can put some points on you, and they were just far too good.
And we say this every week as well. When you have Bryce Cartwright in your halves, you are going to struggle in attack. And they did again. And I mentioned fringe contenders. This may sound crazy, but you cannot rule out the Raiders just yet. I mean, they are a talented team. It's not that far away from the same roster that was an Edric Lee drop ball from making the 2016 grand final. We're going to add Josh Hodgson to this team in another couple of months. And they're rolling, as you said, and they're home again next week against quite a decimated Sharks team. So keep your eye on that Raiders side. Only other post-mortem I have to give from this match is RIP. We had a 40-1 multi. It loses because we had the total under 45.5 lands 50 with 30 points in the second half, 18 from the Titans. It was a similar game to round one where we also had a multi. We just needed the Raiders to win that one. They were up 24-6 and they couldn't win that one. They let the Titans score a bunch of late tries and they did the same this time. Only difference was they won, they were happy, but we're not. We've already won a 60-1 multi this season, but we just lost a 40-1 multi by one leg by less than a try. And we've lost 2 other times, big double-digit multis by half a point or by one short leg. So it shows we're doing the right thing with our multis. You need some luck to cash them, but it sucks to not get over the finish line on that.
Bloody oath. And I think it might be like the punting gods getting back at us, because, I mean, the Raiders, we had 2 Raiders bets, you know, in consecutive weeks in our 100-1 multi last year. And I think they're just getting back at us. Like, they fucked us this week and they fucked us the previous time they played Gold Coast as well. Because what was that one? Like a 20-1 multi that they lost at the death as well. So just a bit of karma, I guess. Then next up, we had the Warriors beat the Tigers 26-4. We did love the Warriors in that one. We went 6-0 on play, so we swept it. Really impressive by the Warriors. But once again, they are a very, very good team at home. But I'd like to talk a bit more about the Tigers, I guess. We've been saying this for weeks that the Tigers are a little bit overrated, and it is starting to show now. I mentioned last week about completion rate, how they were top of the table completion rate. They were completing at 80%. And I did mention that is maybe... there is some element of luck there. And I guess this week you kind of saw 63% completion rate and they got smoked. So I do want to try and fade the Tigers in coming weeks, but obviously next week might not be the best spot for it because they just got pumped. But yeah, have to see as well for the Warriors. Very impressive win, but you've got, you know, 3 injury clouds, I guess. You've got Isaac Luke, you've got Sean Johnson and Adam Blair under injury clouds. So we'll have to keep a close eye on that for next week.
Yeah, the Warriors were really impressive, and it's a shame to see Sean Johnson cop that injury and hearing could be out for 6 weeks because he was awesome. That's the kind of player we expect, and when his forward pack is rolling, he can do things like that, and they've got other weapons outside him as well. And for the Tigers, yeah, as you say, we've been saying they're overrated all season. You know, we don't have a favourite teams. We don't have teams that we hate. And when the Tigers open the seasons with 2 massive upset wins, which in our opinion said a little bit more about the opposition underestimating them, said a little bit more about, you know, a bit of luck on the final play. If you think back to those upset wins over the Storm and the Roosters and not a sustainable performance they could do week in, week out, we kind of had no choice but to bet against the Tigers. And then we got the rough end of it when Manly no-showed against the Tigers, and people have given it to us left, right and centre that we're not watching the games and we're not respecting the Tigers. But you watch them the last 3 weeks, you know, they're favourites and they lose to the Knights. They're favourites, they lose to the Eels, and they get blown off the park against the Warriors. So they're not as good as people think. Luckily, we've been able to capitalise on that with the last 3 weeks.
Definitely. And then here's one where we actually finally got a little bit of luck. The Sharks beat the Eels 22-20, and we had 8 plays. We went 4-4, but that was due to, you know, a really big second half late comeback where they scored three tries in the space of like 7 minutes. That's ridiculous. That luck never, ever happens to us. It's happened against us probably a dozen times this year, and this is the first time I can think where we've actually had a little bit of luck. Sharkies, they were down on trips already. Now Wade Graham's out for another month, they say, re-aggravated his hammy. So, yeah, Sharks are one of those teams where I really do think we need to look at fading them in weeks to come. I mean, we did this week, and they squeaked out a win. So I do want to try and fade the Sharks in weeks to come. The Eels, fuck, just another brutal loss for them. And I don't know what's going to happen next week with them, whether they're going to kind of, you know, be a bit down from this, because now they're still only on, what, two wins, and they came so close. They had a chance to win it at the end. So I don't know if they'll be a little bit demoralised from this one. But, yeah, certainly a decent effort from the Eels. But, yeah, another win for the Sharks.
You've got to hand it to the Sharks. I think they've just won three on the trot, and Fifita ruled out for the season, at least that was the initial prognosis. He was told he'd done his ACL. He, in fact, did not miss a game, and he's been just about their best the last 3 weeks. No way they win. No way they beat the Panthers. No way they beat the Tigers, the Titans, and no way they win yesterday without Fifita. He's been awesome. They're still missing Gal, Lewis. Graham was scratched 15 minutes in. So, you know, I've mentioned some fringe contenders. I'll keep the trend. If the Sharks get everyone back on deck later this year and include Dugan in that, they get them all healthy, that's a team that can be very deadly as well, because they're impressive. So give a lot of credit to the Sharks. And yeah, we did get lucky. We've seen it for the last few weeks. Eels' effort has been there. The execution hasn't always been there. And yesterday, it just seemed like it wasn't their night. And I mean, geez, how these games can change. Let's say you had Sharks 13+. Or let's say you fucking had the Sharks 20+. Valentine Holmes goes through. At that point, the lead was 18. And Valentine Holmes goes through to make the lead 22 points. And you just think, oh, well, you know, I think they were only winning the second half by 6 points at that point. So if the Eels would have scored the last try, we could have still won our second half bet. So I'm still watching it with a bit of hope. Valentine Holmes is through and it's over. They review it and it was a legit obstruction. So it's a penalty Eels. Next thing you know, the Eels score three tries in the space of 5 minutes.
Ridiculous.
Unheard of for a team that we have bet on this year to actually keep biting and score late tries. Fucking happens against us every third game, it seems like. And yeah, and you know that how it ended. I mean, Mitchell Moses, if he converts that, the Eels absolutely had a wet sail. I'm sure they won that game in golden points. So it's actually a kind of a shattering way for them to lose. But for us, we had the +3.5. We had the Eels in the second half. We had the Eels to score more than two tries, had the Eels over 15 points. So we're laughing. We actually got some backdoor action, which we enjoyed for once.
Yeah, finally, because all those bets are looking absolutely horrible. But what boggles my mind slightly is that the Eels look so good when they were doing that for the last 5 minutes. You know, the forwards are running so hard. They're running with pace. They're fucking hitting holes with speed. And they couldn't manage to do that for the other 75 minutes. So, I mean, if they could play like that for the whole game, they would have smoked the Sharkies. And then the one game of the round that we actually got wrong was the Dragons beating the Storm 34-14. We had 8 players on that. We went 1-7. And yeah, I mean, we kind of talked long and hard about this one, and we didn't love the Storm that much, but the line just was sitting there, and we got a lot of good prices on, you know, first half bets, second half bets, team totals, that kind of thing. And look, I'm not going to say that call cost the Storm the game, but it did change the momentum of the game, very much so. And, you know, that is just an absolutely woeful call. And that would have cut it to, I think, 2 points at that point if that was a try. So, but the Dragons, yeah, very impressive, very solid. Cam Smith didn't look right. He looked hobbled a little bit. He looked fucking old for the first time in, like, the last 10 years. But, yeah, Storm have got a bit to work on, but the Dragons just keep marching, just keep playing solid every single week, and they're fully healthy.
You made a bunch of points there. Try and touch on them. Yeah, I thought something that glared to me was Slater and Smith. They looked old. You mentioned there were a lot of forward passes called today. There were a fuckload of forward passes thrown today as well, including, like, Billy Slater gets into dummy half and throws a forward pass to a forward on the goal line and turns over possession. Like, these are mistakes that you just don't expect out of, like, experienced players like that. The call, I was at a pub. You can have the final word on this, but they didn't play the sound. But, I mean, if the referee calls a penalty to the Storm, it's not his fault if they go on and score. I mean, were the Storm hoping to give an advantage? That is a grey area whether a ref should play advantage through a play. The Dragons, absolutely legit contenders this year. But we knew this before the game. And I saw a meme. I was actually scrolling on Facebook and saw a meme, and it said, if you think you're always right, you never learn. So let's not say we're always right. Let's try and learn from this loss on the Storm. Someone commented before giving us a hard time for going against the Dragons. You get 6 out of 6 right in a row, and then the 7th one you get wrong, and people let you know about it. But we did get it wrong, because we said that there was a great spot for the Warriors, 10 days to prepare off of a terrible, you know, blowout loss. It's kind of the opposite for the Storm. They had 10 days to think about how great they were off a blowout win, whereas for the Dragons, one thing you did know about today, you knew the Dragons would bring it at home against the defending champs and really lay the smackdown about who the best team in the NRL is. But you just hoped that the Storm could match them, and they couldn't. And yeah, there really are no excuses, because the Storm was second best today. And we could have done better than losing 7 plays. Like, the Storm actually only scored 1 less try, and we had plus a half try. But at the end of the day, yeah, they were poor. And I wonder at what point we start to see the decline of Smith and Slater. Let's hope, with Origin not too far away, that they that was just one bad blemish. But other than that, yeah, a great round all in all.
We've been talking about it for years, and every single year in the preseason pod, we say, oh, they're getting older now, you know, they're going to decline, and every year they kind of prove us wrong. But maybe, just maybe, this is the year. But yeah, in regards to that pen, mate, obviously, if you're at the pub, you weren't hearing the sound. But I mean, they played the ball under the sticks. It goes 3 passes out to the left. They score the try. And but at this point, no, a word has been said, and then they blow the pen after this has all eventuated. And the call has somehow come from upstairs, because old mate's fucking listening. Okay, yep, and that's after the second pass is thrown. All right, yep, that's a pen. Seems very, very odd. I've never seen it happen in my life before where they fucking wait 10 to 12 seconds before blowing a pen. And that wasn't even a pen on the Storm, it was a pen on the Dragons. And yeah, you're right, with the forward passes, like, that first Dragons try was 2 metres forward, that forward pass. And then successive fucking Storm plays where they actually broke the line and probably would have scored twice were both called back for being forward passes, and they were much less forward passes than that first Dragons try. But anyway, that will do it for this week. We will see you guys on Wednesday at 6 p.m. to break down round 10. Hopefully we'll have another winning round for you guys. But yeah, make sure you download the app. We've got a $50 comp in there for the NBA tomorrow. And like I said, we'll have $50 comps on every single NRL game day. Plus we'll do a special $300 comp this week to celebrate getting 3,000 people in the app. But that's called Tripod, T-R-Y-P-O-D, downloaded in the App Store or Google Play. And that's pretty much it. You got anything else to say?
Yeah, don't get me started on NBA. Fucking what a day. And also a big round of AFL, and we got blokes tipping every sport, including racing, and they're all killing it. So really, if you're watching this pod, you are trying to win money betting. So if you're watching us and you don't have the Tripod app, you're not giving yourself the best opportunity. It's a free app, and it has so many good tips and us, and you can see how well everyone's doing, and it's just a hub of information. So check it out, as you mentioned, Tripod app, T-R-Y-P-O-D at the app stores, and we'll catch you there, and we'll catch you on Wednesday night, 6 p.m.
See you then, guys.